It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Welcome back to the table. In our Bible study segment today, we are back in the Gospel of Mark in chapter 5. So if you have your Bibles, you'll want to open there. We're on day 19. Jesus raises Jairus's daughter. And this will be an exciting one because yesterday, Connie promised us that we were going to be learning about the number 12 a little bit more. Connie, welcome back to the table. I'm excited about this one.
Oh, thank you. Another great encounter with the Lord Jesus and what he's able to do. And actually, this is going to be an astounding story because someone is going to be raised from the dead, and that's amazing.
Yes.
As you remember, if you heard yesterday, we had we started the day hearing about somebody. I'm going to call him Jairus. I don't know if I say his name right, but synagogue leader, and how he came to the Lord and said, "My little girl is almost dead. She's dying. Please come and save her and heal her." And Jesus said, "Yes, I will." But then there's an interruption because as they're moving toward his house, there's a crowd of people around him, and there's a woman who comes and touches him and is healed of her bleeding disorder. And then he has an encounter with her and talks to her about how her faith has made her well. And now we return to Jesus on the way to the home of the synagogue leader, this prominent leader with the little girl who is dying. So verse 35 through the end of the chapter, which is 43. Says, while he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." And he allowed no one to follow except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with them and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age, and they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. Well, I'll start by talking about the number 12. Interestingly, how these two stories relate, because in the Gospel of Luke, we find out that the woman had been bleeding, had had this disorder for 12 long years. And for those of us who are women, think about constant bleeding for 12 years. And it's not a pleasant thought. So and also during that whole time, she's completely unclean. And so she can't be out in public, really. And so she, in a sense, has been a living dead person for 12 years. And then here in this story, we have a little girl, 12 years of age, who is dying and truly has died. Jesus is not saying she didn't die. He's just saying that her condition is not irreversible, especially when he's there. And so he's going to bring her back to life. But this is a little girl, 12 years age, who has died, but is now going to come back to life. And so it's interesting how the number 12 comes up twice here. But let's go back to the beginning of this passage and find out and just talk about really how faith develops and how the Lord develops the faith of the parents through this interruption and trial and what's going on. So back up in verse 35, we find that while he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead." And so the pronouncement is made, the little girl was dying, now she is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? And so for those folks, this was the end. The teacher could help somebody who maybe was ill, but she's dead, and so it's final, and then that's over. But then it says, but overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue. And so Jesus heard what they were whispering to the father, and really the Greek means he refused to listen to that, or that wasn't going to change what he did. He then said to the ruler, "Do not fear, only believe." And literally it means, stop fearing, keep on believing. And so Jesus understood kind of that funny mix of how you've got some faith, but at sometimes you've got other things that are causing you to fear or to not listen. And so he's asking the man, the ruler, Jairus, to focus on him and keep on believing. And then it says, he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And this is the first time in Mark that we find that Jesus has selected those three disciples to spend with him for a special witness of something. Back in Deuteronomy, we find out that two or three witnesses are what is needed to validate something, either something good or to validate a charge against someone, especially a murder charge. And so it's important that there's two or three with Jesus to validate and to be witnesses to what happens. And we find throughout Scripture in the Gospel of Mark here, this time and two more times, both on the Mount of Transfiguration and then also in Gethsemane, those three are the ones who are closest to Jesus as witnesses. All right, so they have gone with Jesus and the rest of the disciples are left behind. And then it says, they came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, literally an uproar, meaning just a noisy crowd and throng, people weeping and wailing loudly. And because in Palestine, they buried people immediately within 24 hours, the wailing and the mourning had to happen right away because that's when the body was there. But also they hired professionals to do it, and they were good at it, and they were loud, and so that's what was going on. And just the thought that this was a prominent Jewish leader meant there probably were quite a few people there doing this. And then it says, verse 39, and when he had entered, he said to them, why are you making a commotion and weeping? So he's rebuking them for this mourning over the death. And then he says, the child is not dead, but sleeping. And they took him literally, and they knew she was dead, and they laughed at him. Actually, it says, and they laughed at him, meaning they scorned him. They mocked him. They did not accept his words. The rest of the verse says, but he put them all outside. And so I love it because the Lord Jesus has authority over people. They can laugh at him. They can tell him to do things. But when he gives orders, they obey. So they left the house. And also because of their scornful disbelief, he wasn't going to allow them to see the miracle. And then it says, and he took the child's father and mother and those who were with him, meaning Peter, James, and John, and went in where the child was. And taking her by the hand, he said to her, Talithi kumi, which is Aramaic and literally means, little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately, verse 42, the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age, and they immediately were overcome with amazement. So again, we find out this little girl who was dead, she'd lived for 12 years and was dead and is now alive. But when Jesus tells her to arise, she does. Jesus commands the dead, and they respond. And so she got up, and she walked. And so we know she's really healthy and well. And then verse 43 says, and he strictly charged them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. And so he has compassion on her need, but it also shows she's alive to a normal life again, and needs to eat and drink and do normal human things. But she will die one day, like all of us do. And he has raised her back to life to be here with her family. Now here he told them not to tell anybody about this. The news is going to get out, but he doesn't want a big commotion and people expecting or wanting him to be something that he didn't come to be, especially a political leader. When we look at what Jesus did when he encountered people who had died in Scripture, there's a couple other accounts. There's one of a widow's son who dies. There's Lazarus who dies. In both of those accounts, the Lord says, arise, or calls their name, and they respond and do his bidding. And so we know from this encounter with Jesus in Mark's gospel that the Lord Jesus has power over death. And from John's gospel, which talks quite a bit about eternal life and life and death, we find that Jesus actually has the power to lay down his life and to take it up again. And that's in John chapter 10 when he's talking about being the good shepherd. And then we also find out that he tells his disciples, because I live, you too will live. Mm-hmm. And really, as Christians, our hope, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And that means we too will be raised from the dead. As we think about the whole topic of fear that's kind of been coming through, as we look at the people who encounter Jesus, Jairus, the synagogue leader, was afraid because his daughter was dying. And now the Lord Jesus has raised her from the dead and restored her to him. When we, again, think about fear and what we as humans fear, we fear all the disease and the bad things that happen. And ultimately, we fear death. But if we understand that Jesus has conquered death, that changes how we live life, because it means we're not afraid anymore of that. And if he is with us and working in our lives for his purposes, we don't ever have to be afraid of what the future may hold. And so that's really, I think, what we need to look, focus on in this lesson of just understanding where Jesus has a power, has authority over both, has authority over sickness and demons, but even over death. And ultimately, he has a power and authority over sin and the wrath of God that we deserve. And so we can be raised to life everlasting.
Oh, amen. Thank you so much. We don't need to fear, ladies. This is an incredible lesson. You can download the notes on our Bible study tab at naomistable.com. We're going to take a little break, and we will be right back.